Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road Church. Glad you've tuned in and chosen us for your spiritual nourishment. We've been talking about developing a culture of trust and inspire. And boy, oh boy, everything, people's gifts, potential, the purposes come out in that type of a culture. Because the culture that's in the entire world, that's running the world, is command and control. We don't want that. We don't want command and control. We want trust. Nobody likes to be controlled, do they? I don't like to be controlled. My wife, Donita, doesn't like to be controlled. She always says, "You're not the boss of me." And I tell her, "You're not the boss of me. Jesus is the boss. You got him. You got him at the center. You're going to have paradise." Amen? That's a trust and inspire marriage and environment at home. And when we start to understand this and put this thing together, it makes all the difference. We ask, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that you would fill us all, everybody in this building, with the knowledge of your will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That, Father, all of us would have a walk worthy of you, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That, Father, we would be strengthened with all your might, according to your glorious power, with patience, long-suffering, and joy. Father, for you have qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, and you've delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of your love. Father, we thank you for that, and we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. That's one of my favorite verses. Somebody said, every verse is your favorite verse. You know what? When you depend on God's word, it becomes your favorite. Because it delivers. It brings freedom. It really does. It liberates you. Look what he says. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man whose trust is in man and makes the flesh his strength. Look what happens. When you trust in man, your heart departs from the Lord. See that? So we don't want to put our trust in man. And look what happens. Whose heart departs from the Lord. Give me the next one. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. See, you can't see when good comes when you try to do it yourself. Good is right on the end of your nose. And you can't see it because you're trying to do it in your own strength. We have to grow and mature and depend on God. And that's what he's doing. He's calling us to put him first in our life. Amen? And when we put him first, he puts our lives together. So what we're going to do is I'm going to read some stuff I've been sharing from the stuff I've been studying and reading on a trust and inspired culture. So this is what we're cultivating here, is a trust and inspired culture. You see, here it is. When you trust the Lord, you can trust people. See, here's what happens. When you don't trust people, you're trying to defend yourself. You ever get around people and say, "I don't trust nobody"? That's not healthy. That's not a healthy place to be. When you trust God, you can trust people. And I'm not saying, you know, bring the ex-murderer home for dinner. I'm trying to help you see this. Now get a hold of this. When you trust God, you can, you know, that's why I can come up here and share things about my life. I share stuff about my life. I share a lot of stuff that I used to hide. But I don't have to hide it anymore. Because you see, I trust him. And what you do with it's on you, right? But that makes you secure when you can be that way. Amen? So don't be judging people, right? That's what we're not going to do. We're not going to judge nobody. I learned a long time ago, when you judge somebody, it comes back on you. Pressed down, overflowing. That's why you're not supposed to judge. Don't judge anybody. I don't care if you've been weed smoking, drinking alcohol, whatever. You're welcome in this place. And if you come in here, the Holy Spirit is going to get a hold of you. And His presence is going to get a hold of you. And you know what you'll do? You'll throw rocks at that marijuana. And you'll shut the door on that alcohol. You don't need it. You don't need it to feel good anymore. The Holy Spirit makes you feel good. You know what He does? He helps you to be you. You like being you now. You start seeing, you're free to be you. Freedom is powerful. Am I making sense? See, when you're free, you're free. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, when you're free, God calls you to freedom. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you, okay, think about, I remember when Donnie and I started dating. We started dating 10 years ago. Because we dated for 2 years, and then we got married. So, when we started dating, I was checking this thing out. You know, I was kind of seeing how this is going to work. Because, you know, I'm a pastor of the church. And I've been single for the past 11 years. And I started looking at this, and I thought, she don't need me. I like that. She don't need me. And then I looked at it again. I don't really need her. But now listen to me. I was in a position because I was depending on God. See this? When you're depending on God and trying to put His kingdom first, it helps you to be free. And when you're free, you can make a healthy decision. You see that? You don't make a decision out of desperation and neediness. Oh, what if I picked her up and said, oh, and I drop her off before she gets out? Oh, I need you, I need you, I need you. She probably would have ran. I need you, I need you, I need you. You understand? Are you with me? People don't want around needy, 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 needy. Desperation. You see, that's what happens when you're not putting God first. You make wrong decisions. And you make decisions that affect your entire life. You see, when God speaks to you, He's calling you to freedom. You see that? When you make decisions out of your relationship with Him, He's trying to get you to freedom. There's more freedom in Christ than there is outside of Christ. Because you're becoming you. I'm free to be me. Now I can be me. In Matthew 6, verse 31, 32, He said, "And all these things," Jesus talking, "all these things the Gentiles seek." Well, now listen to me. The Gentiles aren't even covenant people. You see, they're not in covenant people. They're not in covenant relationship with God. They're not born again. He was talking to people who weren't in covenant with God. They weren't in relationship with God. He said, all these things the Gentiles seek. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, what He's doing there is He's helping you get your priorities right. See, too many times, we're like people that aren't covenant people, and we're putting all these things ahead of Him and ahead of what He's called us to. That's why He wants His kingdom to be sought first. Are you catching this? When you put His kingdom first, now He starts to put your life together, and it brings freedom in your life.
Amen.
Transformation. See, when he speaks to you and you put His kingdom first, you yield to that. It hurts, but it brings transformation. I'm changing. I'm becoming transformed because I'm listening to Him. He's my creator. You see this? Now I'm becoming free. I'm putting the kingdom first. Are you catching this?
Amen.
It says in Colossians 1, in Him all things consist. How many things? All things. You know what the word consists means? Holds together. You see, when you're in him, your life's not going to fall apart like a $2 suitcase. You are being held together. It says, in him, all things consist. Now watch this. For he is the head of the body, the church. He, meaning Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Watch this. Who is the beginning? The church is the beginning. Of what? The new creation, the new heaven and the new earth. We are the beginning of the new heaven and the new earth. Who is the head of the church? The beginning of the firstborn of the dead. We've been born again. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. The firstborn of the dead. For in him all things have preeminence. You see that? He wants everything to be under him in your life. Did you catch that? That's the church he's building that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Amen. And he's going to hold your life together. He's going to hold your marriage together. He's going to make sure if they lay you off, something else is around the corner. Oh, gosh, I'm getting shook up. I'm telling you, folks, this is God, and God is working in his kingdom. And if you're out to advance his kingdom and you will obey him, he says in Galatians 3, Paul was talking to the Galatians church. He says, who's bewitched you that you don't obey the truth? You started in the spirit, and now you're trying to do everything in the flesh by your own strength. He says they've been bewitched. We don't want to be bewitched. We want to come together. We want to come together and be the church. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. All of us have gifts. All of us have talents. And all of us need to share our gifts and talents with each other. And I need to see the good in you. And you need to see the good in me. And we come here together, and that's what we're doing. And in an atmosphere like that, innovation, ideas, Amen. Wisdom flows. Are you with me? Amen. That's why I wanted to tell about Maya. Maya came here and she's always bringing kids and just you could see. And then when you talk to her, this lady's so smart. And then the next thing you know, she's coming in and she's going to college. Now she's a nurse. Are you getting what I'm saying? God's pulling it out. And now she's going to a job she enjoys and she's helping people. That's why you're designed. God wants you to help people. He wants you to put their interest above your own. And when you do that, you get elevated. That's the way the kingdom works. You guys all right? You see, when you have freedom, you can make healthy decisions. You see this? It's amazing. And that's the way God wants it. He says this. Give me Philippians 1:27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. See, this word worthy means to esteem, to value. We got to value the gospel. Remember, there's only one gospel. There's not, well, there's other ways to get to heaven. No, there's one way, through Jesus. Well, you know, Muhammad. No, not Muhammad. Well, you know, Joseph Smith. No, not Joseph Smith. Well, Jehovah's Witness. No, not Jehovah's Witness. Oh, sorry. If anyone comes with any other gospel other than the gospel of Christ, let them be accursed. Yes. The word accursed means not fit to be on the face of the earth. One gospel. Remember? Paul was talking to the Galatian church. He said, you're not being straightforward with the truth of the gospel. Remember? Ortho. Straight. Lining up with the one gospel. God calls us through his word to line our lives up with the one gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? And that's what the church does. You come here, the word's going forth. It's calling you to line up with the one gospel. Not many, one. Yeah. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is rich to all who call upon him. For how shall they call upon him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe upon him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. You see? That's what we're doing. We're preaching the gospel of peace. Now watch. Look. The gospel of Christ. So that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what we're developing here. We're developing a trust and inspire culture. You see that? And we're all doing this together. And your family will improve. Your job performance will improve. Now, give me the next one. Philippians 1:28, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries. You don't have to be afraid of your adversaries. Adversity. Persecution. Trouble. You don't have to be afraid of that. You should never run from trouble. You should run to it. Listen. God glories. We glory in tribulation. Trouble. Glory means what God originated and intended. Now watch. Which is to them a proof of perdition. Remember last week I gave you the meaning of that word perdition. It means to decay, to rot. It means a stench. It really is describing the stench of a dead person or a dead animal laying there just rotting. That's what that word perdition describes. That's what your faith looks like when you walk away. This is the good news. Now pay attention. But to you, salvation. And that not from God. Give me the next one. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. What's the suffering? The suffering is you're giving up your old ways, the way you thought was right. You're giving up the way your parents taught you that doesn't work anymore. You're giving up all those old things that don't line up with the truth of the gospel. You see that? So it's difficult. It brings hurt and pain sometimes. Maybe you had trauma. Maybe you were abused sexually, verbally, you know, physically. You can get over that. You can be healed of that. He sent his word to heal us of all our diseases. Not some, all of them. All destruction. Psalms 107 verse 20. To deliver us from all destruction. Now listen. Look what he says. It's been granted on our behalf. The word granted means favored. It's favorable to suffer for his sake? Yes, it is. God's favor. God's doing you a favor to allow you. He's giving you permission. It also means permission. He's giving you permission and favor to suffer for his sake. What's the word sake? Benefit. Did you catch that? The word sake is the word benefit. The word benefit is good, qualified. The word benefit is the word good, B-E-N-E, good. The word fit, F-I-T, is the word qualified. So now you qualified for the good that I have for you. Did you get that? Because you were favored and God gave you the permission to go through the difficult thing you're going through because God's bringing the best to you. Did you catch that? Now pay attention. Give me the next one. That would be chapter 2 and verse 1. Okay. Therefore, if there is any consolation, encouragement, that's what that word means, in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. That's what he's saying. Paul is telling them, and this is the Holy Spirit guiding Paul to write this, fulfill my joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Now look, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, like-minded. He's calling us all to be like-minded. Having the same love, agape love. Being of one accord, unity. One accord of one mind. Then he says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Did you catch that? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Now, this word, remember, in the first chapter, Paul was in prison and he was preaching and he said, all this has happened for the furtherance of the gospel. And the word furtherance means a pioneer advancement. In other words, I'm experiencing things and looking at things I've never seen before in my life. But the Holy Spirit is helping me to pioneer and get through to the healthier place. And then he had all the people in the church that he had started. They were preaching Christ out of envy and strife. And then it said, and selfish ambition. The word selfish ambition means this: to campaign or fleece an area or region for the support of one. Are you listening to me? They were preaching with wrong motive. People were still getting saved. You can preach the gospel if you're drunk and people can get saved. It's not the messenger, it's the message. It's the message. The power's in the gospel. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them who believe. Now pay attention. That's in Romans 1:16. Now watch. Selfish ambition. They were leveraging Paul's adversity, Paul's persecution, for their benefit. Are you catching this? That's not a healthy thing to do. So now he's telling us, in the love of God and to promote unity, we've going to have to look at this selfish ambition. Now think about this. Remember, remission, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no remission, okay? So remission is back to the mission God created you for. That's why you exist. That's why you have air in your lungs. It's for his mission, to do his will. Are you listening to me? Now, remission, then it takes submission. Sub is the word under. I got to come under his mission. So that's what the church is. We got his mission going, remission. Now we come under the mission in the church. But it takes more than that. We're to submit to one another. You're to submit to your wife. You're to submit to your husband. That means you should serve them like you're serving Jesus. Treat them like you're treating Jesus. Well, I'm not going to pick up his shoes. Well, you should. You ought to be what you're harping about. Start doing it, and you know what? They'll start picking them up. That's just a little wisdom right there. Still paying attention? Submission. Remission, submission. Remember? Commission. The Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. All. That's why we're a teaching church. Listen, co-mission. Co means he's with you on the mission. What's the mission look like? When you're out doing your business during the day, you're at work, maybe you're on a tractor by yourself. You're out there farming, you're looking at that corn. You're thinking about God. You're thinking about that woman up there in the house. How can I bless her? How can I take care of her? How can I make her day better? God is starting to show you, and you start submitting. And then she's at work thinking, well, how can I make it better for him? I'm going to go home and give him a little extra. You know, you let that be your own little mind. So they come home, and they're serving each other, and they're submitting. And it's like you can't wait to see each other. Am I making sense? That's submission. I'm on mission. No, wait. There's more to it. Here it is. Remission, submission, commission. That means Jesus is working with you. I've got somebody here at work who gets on my last nerve, who doesn't want to leave. I give them mercy and I give them grace. That's the mission. You see that? I give them what they don't deserve. I give them better than what they're giving me. You see that? And God starts to work with you. And you start to see the benefits of what it's doing in your life. Here's what happens. Anybody ever heard of the sins of omission? Who's heard of that? Raise your hand. Sins of omission. We got a handful here. So you got sins of omission and sins of contrition. What's sins of omission? In psychology, the world of psychology, omission, there's a term that means to lie by omission. What's that mean? You know, when you go to court on trial, so what do they do? Put your hand on the Bible. Do you swear the truth, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God? I do. Why do they do that? They don't want you to lie through omission. To lie by omission means you're not giving them the whole story. Are you catching this? So now, this is what happens. When you don't give them Christ and mercy and grace that they need it, you're not giving them the whole story. Omission. O means you're omitting. You're not giving all of it. Put a C on there. He's with you. He's the truth. You see that? You're giving them the truth. Are you getting that? Let that sink in. So when you give your wife the best, he's with you. When you go home and you give her something that's not, you get into omission. You're not giving them the whole narrative, what God's trying to show and write your story of your life. Did you get that? That's good right there. So you got remission, submission, commission, or omission. I don't want omission. You see, you start allowing him and listening to him and obeying him, he's getting you to the highest version of who you are. And you start to see it in your life and the people you start to connect with. Contrition. This is what sin of contrition is. A sincere remorse for wrongdoing. Repentance for sin with a sincere desire to amend arising from the pure love of God. Repentance arising from a motive, listen, from a motive less than the pure love of God. That's what selfish ambition is. See that? The sin of contrition. The love's not pure. What are you doing? You're trying to protect yourself your own way. You've omitted Christ, and now you're defending yourself. That's the sin of omission. Did you get that? That's going to help you. You ought to just put this thing to work as soon as you leave here. Start speaking something good to the people you love. I don't care if it's your in-laws or who it is. You start speaking the good to them and seeing the good in them. And watch things change in your life. Because you're on mission. You're on mission for him. Are you hearing me? And he's going to show you. He's going to show you a better you. He's trying to show you the you you haven't even met yet. Now look, selfish ambition or conceit, which is pride, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You see, what you want to make happen in your life successful, you help somebody else be successful. And God will make sure you get successful. That's why when you understand that at home with that wife or that husband, man, you get to work on that. Things start to change.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sidney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sidney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.